Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Supertalk 99.7.
It's 105 on Supertalk 99.7. WTN, Dan Mandis Show. God, I got a lot of stories today. I just don't know how I'm going to get through them all, but I will. We got James Comey, of course, doing his thing up on Capitol Hill, or as I like to say, Crapital Hill. And so we're going to continue to talk about what James Comey has to say. And he said something rather infuriating. And I heard Pamela mention the story at the top of the hour with James Comey. He's talking about how he has no regrets. Now, I would just have to ask the question, and I mentioned this in the first hour as well. I'm not going to spend any more than about 15 seconds on it, but I would have to ask James Comey, how in the world can you have no regrets as it relates to the investigation into Hillary Clinton? Now, he's been going on and on about how the investigation wasn't biased or anything else. Well, clearly it was biased, just with the fact that Hillary wasn't under oath when she was interviewed, right? It wasn't recorded, and James Comey himself wasn't even there. So just from that standpoint alone, as it relates to her private email and server and all that good stuff, right? Just that aspect alone tells me that the investigation in and of itself, while they spent a lot of money and had a lot of manpower, the problem is, at least in my opinion, the entire investigation is tainted with the fact that they allowed Hillary Clinton to, frankly, get away with doing this. And not being asked the tough questions and not being under oath when she was interviewed, which means, of course, that she could lie. And I know that it seems rather, you know, shocking to, you know, intimate that Hillary Clinton might actually lie about something. But anyway, we know that Hillary Clinton is back in the news and James Comey is back in the news. We'll continue to cover that. Yesterday, I spent an inordinate amount of time talking about Hillary Clinton and how to just spend and spend and spend and spend. And what are we spending on? We're spending on things that literally don't matter. We're spending on things like the EPA. Planned Parenthood. We're spending money on abortions. So when we talk about the spending of the government, the gluttonous and irresponsible spending of the government, you always have to keep in mind, because what I do is I'll end up kind of joining all these stories together, right? So President Trump wants some sort of tax reform. Well, as we know, that's blocked. And the Democrats are not going to let that happen because, of course, Charles Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, they want to see President Trump's tax returns before they agree to any kind of tax reform. In other words, as a guy who had to pay a lot of taxes this year, and maybe you're the same, some of us anyway, have paid taxes this year. And so when we continuously have to pay our taxes, and then we see what we're paying our taxes for, and then we see that that's going to be less money in our pockets, then we have to curb our spending, yet the government does not have to curb theirs. And nobody holds anybody accountable. Nobody holds Congress accountable. We keep electing these people over and over again. So Congress, they could just keep spending their wanton spending where they are just going to continue to spend us into oblivion with absolutely no responsibility. So what happens next? Well, I don't think tax reform is going to go through anytime soon. We'll have to wait and see. Certainly the spending is going to continue ad nauseum. And for a president who said that he was going to drain the swamp seems as crowded as ever. And so now in 2018, we all have a decision to make, right? A couple of different things can happen in 2018 and in 2020. As we watch all of the plans and all of the things that we voted on November 8th, simply and literally collapse in front of our eyes. Are we as conservatives going to be angry enough to go out and vote for true conservatives who want limited spending, who want limited government, who want more of our money given back to us instead of to the black hole that is the government? Or are we going to simply let the Democrats hijack not only the next 2 years, but also hijack 2018 and perhaps 2020? Because Republicans will be so incredibly disengaged with the entire process, the entire swamp, as it gets muddier and muddier. Anywho, immigration is going down. We all know this. They're talking about in the Washington Post, it's a great article. And they're talking about President Trump and his quote-unquote tough words on immigration, his fearful words on immigration. This is almost laughable. And the reason why it's laughable is because we all know, because I've been talking about it for months now, we know that, yes, the president is talking tough on immigration, and that is leading to fewer people coming over the border. But let's also not forget that it is also the mainstream media that is not only stoking the embers of this fear, but they're actually throwing gasoline on those embers and causing a huge, massive wildfire full of fear, but it's also full of lies. See, because what do we know about President Trump and his immigration policies? He has said over and over again, the Dreamers, they have nothing to worry about. He's going after the illegal immigrants that have committed violent crime, that have committed crimes against drugs and all these other things. So here's what the Washington Post has to say about that. One strategy that seems to be working for the Trump administration is fear. The number of migrants, legal and illegal, crossing into the United States has dropped markedly since Trump took office, with recent declines in the number of deportations having now been reversed. They say that many experts on both sides of the immigration debate attribute at least part of this shift to the use of sharp, unwelcoming rhetoric by Trump and his aides, as well as the administration's showy use of enforcement raids and public spotlighting of crimes committed by immigrants. They say the tactics were aimed at sending a political message to those in the country illegally or those thinking about trying to come. Now, remember the stories that I've told you. Remember the stories that I've told you about how it's a circle, right? So the activists will literally make up stories about how Trump and his jackbooted thugs are going to grab a whole bunch of people that are, say, for example, Dreamers, and just start deporting them. And so the activists report it, and then the politicians comment on it, and they hold press conferences in the middle of some of these neighborhoods where you have a lot of Dreamers, a lot of Hispanics living in that particular community, deriding President Trump and his racist policies and his jackbooted thugs coming to deport a whole bunch of people. You know, they're going to deport the valedictorian who's 18 years old and has been here since the age of six, when we all know that that is not what President Trump plans to do. But the activists report it falsely, and they let the information seep into the neighborhoods. So the activists purposely spark fear in the neighborhoods with these false allegations against Trump. The activists talk about it. The neighborhoods talk about it. The press picks up on it. The politicians pick up on it as well. And that stokes all of the fear. The media then reports it, and it becomes a story in and of itself. And the LA Times, a couple of months ago, talked about how this is exactly what's happening within these Hispanic neighborhoods all across America. And the media is not only complacent, but they are participating in this. But everybody wants to talk about how it's Trump and his incendiary, unwelcoming words that is causing the drop in illegal immigration. I would agree that that is causing a drop in illegal immigration, but let's also not forget there are a lot of other pieces to this puzzle. Trump says the world is getting the message. They know that our border is no longer open to illegal immigration. And if they try to break in, you'll be caught and you'll be returned to your home. He says you're not staying any longer. If you keep coming back illegally after deportation, you'll be arrested and prosecuted and put behind bars. Otherwise, it will never end. Now, here's the thing. With President Trump and with the wall and with illegal immigration, we all know what we voted for. We're not going to get it. However, I would say that it's actually, and this is going to sound kind of backwards, but I would applaud the media for reporting and misreporting what it is that President Trump has said and what his intentions are. Because the media is obviously helping in this situation as well. The way that the media is helping in this situation is they are spreading the word, false or otherwise, that President Trump is actually going to be tough on illegal immigration. So in a way, the media is doing the job for President Trump. And obviously, that is a very good thing. That is a very good thing indeed. We'll have to see what happens in the war on illegal immigration. We do know that the president has set up an entire agency to help the victims of illegal immigrants and the crimes that they have committed. So we'll talk about that coming up here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. It is the Dan Manda Show. There's a lot of other things to keep track of today. There is a whole lot of conversation and a whole lot of news to report on North Korea. That is coming up as well here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN, 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. Pamela, did I yesterday talk about the FBI translator that married an ISIS recruiter yesterday? Did I do that on
I don't remember that.
I don't think I did it either.
Were you on some other station yesterday?
I may have been.
Because you go, did I do it here?
They're all starting to, you know, fade into one. It's an amazing story, and it's funny. You and I, Pamela, we were talking earlier about how the 15-year-old girl was apparently involved with this 28-year-old, and they turn into a, you know, Bonnie and Clyde kind of a thing. So there seems to be a recurring theme here, and that is women who get involved with the wrong men. So
that is the story of my life. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying. So coming up next, the FBI translator who married the ISIS recruiter she was meant to be investigating. It's a very funny story.
Never
if it wasn't so absolutely scary. It's coming up next here on Super Talk 99.7. Well, what's really scary about this is the fact that this woman, she got through all kinds of, you know, security clearances and everything. So we'll talk about that coming up next on WTN. 137 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Dan Manda Show. You can always check in 615-737-WWTN. You can also check out WWTN. You can also check out the Dan Manda Show Facebook page. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Dan Manda Show. FBI translator marries the ISIS recruiter she was meant to be investigating. You know what? I'm sorry, Pamela. There's never any shortage of stories of women who go after the wrong men.
Stupid women.
I didn't. You said stupid women,
I
not
did.
Me.
I
was
say
just going to
say. I'm one of them.
Now, would you ever go all the way out to wherever this lady went ISIS?
I doubt it. Yeah. I didn't make out with it.
It is. Okay, that's enough. So what is amazing, though, is that there are so many stories of women who go and travel to godforsaken places like Afghanistan and so forth to meet up with these ISIS recruiters and these ISIS jihadists for, you know, marriage and all this other kind of stuff. It is stunning to me. But here's yet another one. Her name is Daniela Green, and she moves to Syria to be with her jihadi groom. After a couple of months, she realized, you know, I may have made a mistake. Now, the guy who was her, you know, object of affection was a guy by the name of Dennis Cuspert. Now,
Cuspert,
yes, C-U-S-P-E-R-T.
Doesn't seem like an ISIS recruiter.
Well, he's, I guess, a German guy. He's a German citizen, Dennis Cuspert. And in January of 2014, because she's an interpreter, she was assigned to his case. Now, just so you know, this guy, Dennis Cuspert, he is also known as Deso Dog or Deso Dog. He's a rapper. He's a gangster rapper.
So he's a German rapper?
So he's a German gangster rapper who apparently his backup gig was as some sort of a ISIS jihadist. Cuspert once opened a concert for DMX, American music star.
Yes, yes, yes.
So as the story says, he traded rap tracks for videos encouraging people to fight for ISIS, becoming one of the organization's most influential recruiters. Matter of fact, he praised Osama bin Laden in a song, threatened Barack Obama with a throat-slitting gesture, and in one lovely pose, held a severed head in a propaganda video. You know, it's no wonder that Daniela Green, the FBI translator, fell for that.
I know. I can see the attraction.
Can't you see the plenty of fish profile of this guy holding a severed head?
That's not funny.
No, it's not. Why are you laughing at that? That's terrible, Pamela. You should be ashamed of yourself. Anyway. So she starts investigating this guy, and somehow, because she has access to his accounts, they've broken into his social media or whatever, she starts conversing with this guy and falls in love with him. This is an FBI translator. I wish somebody would ask James Comey about this.
But she's just the translator. She's not the investigator, correct?
She is a translator.
Okay.
Okay, so she's translating and all these other things.
So she's not exactly... she's not an agent per se.
I don't know, because it says as part of her investigation into him, Daniela Green, 38, maintained sole access to one of two Skype accounts used by Cuspert, also known as Deso Dog or Deso Dog, according to court documents seen by CNN. In June of 2014, after filing in a foreign travel form, I guess that's filling out a travel form, as required for all FBI employees, she said she was going to Germany to see her family, but in reality, she flies to Turkey and from there travels to Syria to hook up with old Deso Dog or Dennis Cuspert. Now, I guess the question would have to be, if you're somebody who is rational and sane, and you see photos of a guy holding a severed head.
Allegedly.
Well, it's not allegedly.
I mean, had to throw that out there.
No,
I'm kidding.
No, okay.
It's a joke.
Threatens Obama with a throat-slitting gesture. I mean, who finds that attractive?
She did.
This is, no offense, Pamela, and all you wonderful ladies out there, but this is the same gender that has been spending millions of dollars over the past 12 months on butt implants, right? I mean, it's like sometimes, and that's what I said, I don't want to sound like I'm bashing the female gender.
No,
thing,
not at all.
But I'm just saying, in the last couple of days, there's been all kinds of stories about not-so-bright females.
Yeah, but these not-so-bright females are doing that because you not-so-bright men
are
absolutely wanting them to look like that.
I don't.
They don't.
Are you out of your mind?
No. Why else would they do the butt injections?
Because they have low self-esteem, and
right.
That's their problem,
and so
not
they
mine.
Want men to love them, want them, whatever, so that's what they're doing. Otherwise, they can't get the attention they want or crave.
See, I think you're wrong there, but that's interesting.
That's why they're doing it. Of course it is. They're not doing it for themselves.
I don't know if any men who actually find
there are tons of men. Are you kidding me?
Well, we delved down this
road
yesterday.
There are so many men that are into big booties right now. That is the in thing. Are you kidding me?
Man. See, now I'm embarrassed for my species, but whatever. My gender.
You should be. So we're both embarrassed for our own genders.
Anywho, the Daniela Green, when she went out there and married this guy and
wait,
you know,
they got
2 months
married.
Yeah, they got married. She married him. She flew to
Did she not
Syria.
Think she might get arrested?
Well, apparently not, because if she's out there in Syria with this dude living in, you know, whatever hellhole that they're living in, then no, I guess she didn't worry about being arrested because she was gonna live
love.
She was gonna live happily ever after
in
with
Syria.
Her ISIS recruiter husband. Yes. He of the severed head, holding of the severed head.
Did you say he of the severed head?
He of the.
You did, didn't you?
Holding of the severed head.
He of the severed.
Whatever.
Right. That's
anyway,
funny. That was
so
funny.
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't know. It felt awkward to me. Anyway, Green began to show signs of regret,
really?
According to CNN, describing herself as weak, and saying, "I really made a mess of things this time." You think? This is an FBI translator.
I really goofed up with my love life this time.
You know, somehow I have far less confidence in our intelligence agencies right about now. Somehow, though, she was able to flee back to the United States of America, where she was indeed arrested. And so now they're saying that she was sentenced to 2 years in jail.
All right. What was she? What for exactly? Aiding an ISIS recruiter or? Because, I mean, would it be against the law for me to marry someone who is an ISIS recruiter if I'm not actually recruiting for ISIS?
Well, they say that she violated the public trust, the trust of the officials who granted her security clearance.
Okay, all right.
And the trust of those with whom she worked, and in doing so, endangered our nation's security.
Okay.
Obviously. Now, CNN is now reporting that Daniela Green is now working as a hostess in a hotel lounge and is declining to comment for fear it could endanger her family.
Well, I get that.
I understand that as well. Her attorney, Sean Moore, described his client as just a well-meaning person that somehow—
She just wanted to be loved.
Here's what I don't understand. I mean, there's so many things I don't understand about this story, but there are websites here in America where you can find any number of men.
Well,
like Plenty of Fish and Match.com and all these kinds of things.
What does she look like? Do you have a picture of her?
No, I didn't even think about that, Pamela.
I mean,
if you would like to go ahead and look up and see what she looks like.
What was her name again?
Daniela Green.
Daniela Green.
D-A-N-I-E-L-A Green. G-R-E-E-N-E. Daniela Green. But I just want folks to understand for the record that it's Pamela who asks what it is that she looks like and not me.
All right. So all of these pictures have her face pixelated.
Mm.
I can understand
that.
She's blonde.
Well, it's just like, wouldn't be a redhead now, would it, Pamela?
Redheads would end up killing the guy.
That's exactly right.
Instead of marrying him.
She would be carrying his severed head around.
Exactly.
That would be her new Plenty of Fish profile. Look what happened to my last husband. Line up,
guys.
Don't
mess with me. I'm a natural redhead, baby.
Anywho. Yeah.
Daniela Green. Yeah, they're pixelating. Now, they're not pixelating his picture, but they're pixelating hers.
The FBI told CNN that as a result of Green's case, it took several steps in a variety of areas to identify and reduce security vulnerabilities.
Yeah, he looks mean.
Now, he's carrying around a severed head. It's hard to look nice when you've got a severed head.
Well,
I'm not
looking at the picture with him carrying a severed head, but he is carrying a weapon.
Is it maybe his record album photo when he was Dog?
No, this one is probably a recruiting photo.
Anyway, whatever. It is interesting though because there's been a couple. I've stopped covering these stories, but there have been a couple more stories about these teachers who are sleeping with these young
students,
high school students. And you know what's so weird about that?
What?
Is that there's no other way to say this. And guys, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The teachers who end up sleeping with these students, these boys, they're all incredibly good looking. I mean, maybe the ones that sleep with the students who are ugly don't get all the attention. But the ones that I've seen over the past several weeks, they've been really good looking. There was one that I saw. I don't even know what state it was. But there was some sort of a story where two teachers were having fun with one of the students in one of their cars. And it was,
So it's a threesome with a, 15-year-old kid?
I don't know how old he was.
Well, yes, it was a he.
So anyway, somebody told me that the whole escapade was like 9 hours long.
Good grief.
That's what I said. Somebody told me that. I don't know if that's true, which I probably should have checked that out before.
You know, fake news. You ever heard of that?
Yes, I have, as a matter of fact. Anyway.
Could it be?
So,
well,
but anyway, that's what I mean about how.
What does she say was she thinking? You know, she really was in love with him? I mean, how does he.
I don't know. She didn't want to. She had no comment.
Well, I wonder how he, turns on the charm.
I don't know.
Not only is he an ISIS recruiter, but he's a babe recruiter too, I guess.
I don't know.
He's got skills.
Maybe instead of sending her flowers, he sends her like severed heads.
That's awful. You're awful.
That's really bad. I'm sorry.
I didn't say that. All emails need to go to Dan@.
Oh, no. You just asked if he was good looking or not. Anyway,
I didn't ask if he was good looking. I asked if
she was good looking. Anyway, let's move on. So that is the story.
She's thin?
Well, they probably don't feed her a lot of food out there in Syria or wherever she was.
I don't know that she dropped 50 pounds because she moved to Syria. I mean,
Really?
I don't.
I bet that water out there in Syria will give you diarrhea.
Oh,
she probably,
God.
Whatever.
What are you doing?
Can
what
we move
is wrong
on?
With you today? Good grief.
Moving on. Ohio Police Union planning to sue toy gun makers for realism. Now, I've talked about this a number of different times. Now, we all know the story of Tamir Rice. 12 years old, Cleveland, Ohio. This kid is walking around, and he's pointing this fake gun that, by all accounts, looks like a real gun. And so the people, the folks, called the police. Now, just so you know that I know, here's how everything went down in the story of Tamir Rice. He's walking around pointing this fake gun, looks like a real gun. People call the police. The police dispatcher does not tell the police who are arriving on the scene that it might indeed be a fake gun. So the dispatcher tells the cops that there is a young man or something to that effect walking around this park waving around a gun. Not also relaying the message that the people that called in said it could be a fake gun. And so the police arrive on the scene, and Tamir Rice is just sitting there, and the cops show up, and they give him, I think, what was it, maybe a half a second? Whatever it was. It was a very, very short amount of time. And they shoot Tamir Rice dead because he had a gun. And the police didn't know if it was a fake gun or a real gun. Well, now the Cleveland Police Patrolmen's Association, or the Ohio Police Union, is now planning to sue the makers of toy guns because of how difficult it is to tell the difference between real and fake guns. Now, you folks know that these kinds of altercations between folks with guns, they go down in a millisecond. And typically, guns have to have some sort of a little orange tip on it. But the problem is that you've got all these folks in these different areas around America, they're taking off the orange tip. So that it looks like a real gun, not a fake gun, if they're taking off the orange tip. Now, we also know that there are some folks that are making real guns look like toy guns by installing an orange tip on said gun. So the police are arriving on these scenes, and they have no idea whether this gun is real or fake, because it could be a fake orange tip, or the fake tip could have been taken off the fake. You know what I mean? I mean, there's any number of scenarios that could take place. Now, I'll say it for all of us. You might want to just remind your kids, you know, you may not want to wave around your toy gun in public because of the fact that the police might think it's a real gun. Now, I know that that ruins it for everybody, but I'm just saying, this is obviously a parenting issue. The union's attorney, Henry Hillow, told the WEWS that toy makers need to be held accountable. He says these toy guns that are made to look real puts the community at risk and also puts law enforcement at risk. And that is absolutely true. It does put law enforcement at risk. Now, you may ask, how does that put law enforcement at risk? Well, it puts law enforcement at risk because you have police officers whose careers are being ruined because they're shooting, you know, kids, generally speaking, who have fake guns. And also because these orange tips, if they are making real guns look like fake guns, that also is putting law enforcement at risk. Research from the Washington Post is showing that in the past 2 years, 86 people who were brandishing toy or fake guns have been killed by police. The lawsuit, which will be filed in federal court, is not seeking financial damages, but rather they want to change the design of toy guns. They say the remedy that we'd be looking for is that the gun would not replicate a real gun, that gun would have such a color and such a tip that it is obvious that this is a fake gun, and they also have to do it in such a way so that it cannot be manipulated in any way. Ohio lawmakers were also looking at passing a bill that would make it a misdemeanor for anyone to alter a toy gun to make it look like a real gun. And so this is a story that will go on and on. And the big question is, and there's memes all over the place, is, okay, you've got half a second to decide whether or not you're going to fire a trigger or fire a gun on somebody who may also have a gun. And you need to figure out if that's a real gun or a fake gun. Can you tell the difference in a half a second? The answer to that question, of course, is no, you cannot. It's 154 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.